Have you ever heard people complain or demand to know where God is when they're going through tough times? As we approach Easter, we start a new series looking at Luke's account of the journey to the cross. If you glance back to the verses just before our passage, you will see that they record Jesus' prayer struggle in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was here that Jesus wrestled with his physical reluctance to go through what he knew was his Father's will. Consider the journey he had made. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. He was present originally with God. That's John 1 from the Amplified Version. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, from our reading this morning. From being the one through whom all things were made, without him nothing was made that has been made, to becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. There couldn't be a more extreme journey, could there? Luke appears to be fairly matter-of-fact about the Gethsemane time. But both Matthew and Mark are more descriptive of what must have been an extremely traumatic time for Jesus. Even though he knew that the eventual outcome to be and was the whole purpose of his coming to earth in the first place. We're not told how long Jesus prayed for, except that the first session of the three was, presumably, at least an hour from his question to the disciples. So I think we can assume several hours in total. But after this time invested in prayerful preparation, Jesus was ready, as indicated by what he said to his disciples. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer, in Mark. And this would have been sometime early on the Friday morning, after midnight. The night Jesus was arrested was in the middle of spring. The Passover moon would have been full, and John tells us that it was a cold night. The old olive trees would have cast eerie shadows. So Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. A fail-safe method of identifying Jesus to the soldiers who were with him in the shadowy darkness of the garden. When a disciple would greet his rabbi, he would customarily kiss him on the cheek. So it was, with a gesture that was designed to show respect, Judas betrayed the Lord. And it's interesting to note that the word in Greek that is translated kiss here is not the usual word, philio, but an intensive form of the word, kataphilio, which refers to a fervent, affectionate kiss. And this fact shows us how low the human heart can go and how well we can play the hypocrite. How could Judas betray Jesus like this? It's interesting that those who were most opposed to Jesus were well versed in practicing hypocrisy. Our Lord's most fierce opponents were the religious leaders, of whom Jesus warned, "Do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach," in Matthew 23. It's ironic that those farthest from God are often those who pretend they're closest to him. And that was true of the religious leaders and of Judas. Judas aligned himself with the religious leaders rather than his rabbi. He chose religion over relationship. Sadly, one of the worst enemies of being truly aligned with God is the practice of religion. As has been said many times, Christianity is not a religion of rules to be obeyed and instructions to be followed. It's a relationship with a person who is longing for us to acknowledge and turn to him. A relationship with God through Christ leads to life, while an attempted relationship with God through religion leads to death. Judas was lost. Judas fought against God and rejected Jesus. I'd like to look particularly at three groups of people involved in this reading. Those who fought God, those who forgot God, and the one who followed God. Judas and the crowd were fighting God for their own reasons. The temple authorities were frightened. Their lifestyle, authority, and power were threatened by the truth they knew Jesus was teaching. Judas may have had a couple of reasons. The speculation that he was trying to force Jesus to become the warrior savior that a lot of the Jewish people were looking for, to lead a rebellion to throw off the Roman occupation and restore Jewish culture and national pride. If this is correct, then it means that Judas was fighting against the expressed plan of God. For Jesus had clearly taught that his kingdom was not of this world. Judas refused to accept Jesus as the kind of savior he came to be. Perhaps he rejected Jesus simply because of his love of money. Scripture clearly presents Judas as being a greedy man. John says that he regularly stole money from the money bag that he kept. So when he saw that Jesus' kingdom plans would not result in his personal gain, he arranged to sell the Savior to the authorities for what money he could get. Whatever the reason for his rejection of Jesus as his Lord and Savior, he found himself fighting God's will, and it was a fight he couldn't win. Then there were those who forgot God, in verses 49 to 51. The disciples who remained loyal to Jesus were thrown into a panic. Immediately, some sprang into action, trying to keep Jesus from being arrested and taken away. But they'd forgotten that this was God's plan all along. On more than one occasion, Jesus had explained it all to them. Then, taking the 12 disciples aside, he said to them, "Listen carefully. We are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that have been written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled and completed. He will be betrayed and handed over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked, ridiculed, insulted, abused, and spat on. And after they have scourged him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise from the dead." Luke 18, again in the Amplified Version, but referring back to Isaiah chapters 50 and 53 and Psalm 16, old and new coming together. Jesus had repeatedly told the disciples how the power of God would work to bring about his resurrection and mankind's redemption through his betrayal and suffering. Yet when the time came for all he had told them to be fulfilled, they completely panicked and forgot that God was in control of the situation from beginning to end. But Christ called them to faith. Jesus said, "No more of this," and healed the man's ear. Matthew adds that Jesus told them he could call on the Father, who would send 12 legions of angels to rescue him. But instead, his being arrested and going to the cross was all part of the Father's plan. John reports that Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it that you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. What's interesting is that the word "he" is provided by the translators. The original Greek simply says, "I am." In other words, Jesus' answer affirmed his deity. And the corresponding response of the crowd was a demonstration of his deity. Jesus was letting everyone know that he was in charge. And he still is today. And there was one who followed God. As he was arrested and taken away, we noticed that Jesus was all alone. Everyone had fled, and he was left alone with an angry mob. Jesus was absolutely alone as he submitted to the Father's will and went to the cross. So how would you answer the question I asked at the start? Where is God when it hurts? Answer, right beside you. And yes, he has gone through it himself. So which of these three groups best describes you today? Are you among those who are fighting with God, resisting his call to trust him alone as the Savior you need, relying on religious activity rather than relationship? Fight him no longer, but surrender to him today. Are you among those who are forgetting to trust God in their circumstances? Don't depend on yourself, but trust in him completely now. He is your I am. He is all you need, and you can trust him. Are you among those who are seeking to be like Jesus, following God? Jesus followed the will of God for our sakes. Let us commit ourselves to following the will of God for his sake. Will you pray with me? Jesus, when we think about all you gave up when you came to earth as a baby and how you were treated as you grew up, we are ashamed. Help us, Lord, not to fight you or forget you, but to follow you and trust you as the Almighty I Am, who can be trusted to know what is best for each one of us. Amen. And if anybody would like to take this further, please do speak to Jennifer or me after the service.